I'm going to ask JT.
Good morning, everyone. We are going to have a guest speaker today as we go over our lesson. We are starting in the Sealed Book of Mormon, and we are starting on the Acts of the Three Nephites. We're in chapter 8, and we're starting on verse 5. And today is Sunday, December 5th, and our group leader is J.T. Mista, and he is fairly new. He was baptized this summer. We are so grateful to have him joining our group and being willing to participate as a leader in our study group. So, J.T., welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Jean. I'm honored to be able to congregate with you all and to be able to hear what everyone has to say and learn and read from these holy scriptures. So you guys could just call me JT. I just put the Mister on there because, you know, it's like a moniker when I'm on YouTube and things like that. But I'm looking forward to what we got going on. I know last week we were in the sealed book, Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 8. We're about to finish on verse 5. And last week we were covering how to consecrate ourselves and to get ourselves ready to create the order of Zion. It's a very important thing for us to know how to continue to love one another and understand each other so that we can create this order. And we have the words here that are going to show us how to do that. So I can go ahead and start with verse 5. As we already covered, the people were learning how to get rid of evil feelings and how to focus on purity of thought. But now we have some background information going to Moses and how he was supposed to bring that back and why it didn't happen the way it happened. But I'm going to just go and start with verse 5 and read the first verse. And then after that, we can comment on verse 5 and we can have somebody continue to read the next few verses. I'll pick people. Okay.
Okay.
Everybody had their coffee? Good. All right. So verse 5, and it reads, "It was for this reason that the next day Moses said to the people, 'You have committed a great sin. And now I will go up to the Lord and I make atonement for your sin.' And Moses interceded with the Lord for the people, saying, 'O Lord, let not thy burning anger be risen against this people because of this great sin. For they have made of the spoil which they brought out of Egypt, yea, the gold and gods for themselves. But now you, O Lord, forgive the sins of this people. If not, exclude me, pray thee, from thy book which thou hast written.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Whoever shall sin against me, the same shall I erase out of my book. So now go, lead the people to the place where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. But on the day that I visit, I will visit their sin upon them.' And the Lord struck down the people because they worshiped his gold and the golden calf, which Aaron made." That's some stuff that we can take up out of here, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I can't imagine offering that kind of sacrifice you know, take me out of the book instead of these people. They'd sinned a pretty grievous sin, and yet he was willing to step forward and offer himself as a sacrifice. And the Lord says, nope, that's not going to be sufficient. They have to suffer for what they did. Mm.
Yeah, Moses was a much better man than what I ever realized. The sacrifices that he made, because it does state in the book that the pureness of the feelings were in his heart to withstand the adversity, to look past little faults, and to take the sins of the people. You know, he was the prime example of leadership and of love given to the people. And that verse really showed me just the quality that you mentioned, Russell, that Moses had. Anyone else with any insights?
It's a good example for all of us to follow.
Agreed, Rob. All right.
It also shows the mercy that the Lord says. And it's kind of like, well, okay, maybe the Lord is saying, I want you to stay in the book, Moses. I don't want to get rid of you. So yes, but I'm not going to forget. It kind of, to me, symbolizes also that when we go to judgment day, if we haven't repented of our sins, the Lord's not going to allow those to just be wiped away. If we haven't repented, we still have to go through the process and ask for the forgiveness from our Lord. So I'm imagining this is kind of setting it up right from the beginning, that you make mistakes, you need to talk to the Lord about them.
Yes. The Lord is a Lord of mercy, as you said, Gene. But we also see that, as you also said, he will take care of the consequences if we don't come clean. So there is order. You know, it's not just lovey-dovey, you could do whatever you want and I'll forgive you. It's no, we're here to establish something and we have to do it right and we have to do it correct. And if we cannot, and if we cannot repent with all of our heart, the Lord will allow a calamity to fall on us, and we don't want that. We want to focus on doing the right thing. So thank you for your comment, Gene.
Okay.
Is it okay for us to go to verse 6, or does anyone else have any additional things to say? Well, we will go on to verse 6. I'm going to any, mini, miny, mo and pick somebody to read. Who's the first person to smile on here? Oh, Balky. Saw you.
We need to see your smile, JT.
Yeah.
I want to see your smile. You have a great voice. It's like a movie voice. It's wonderful.
I look a mess right now. Would you be able to read verse 6?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. And it came to pass in the 36th year, when all the people round about the land were converted, both Nephites and Lamanites, that we started to have all things in common, not existing neither rich nor poor, nor slaves nor free, but they were all partakers of the greater gift in their hearts, living in communion, the fullness of the feelings, united in such a way that they consecrated all that they possessed for the sake of a greater good, charity. Of course, the first word in the how do you call it? The first word, one of the names of God. Charity.
Charity.
Yeah. And that's where it starts, I think, to have charity. And it's, yeah, that's an, how do you call it? Especially in these days, it's hard because there's so much strife and contention. And it's not always easy to feel charity all the time. For me, it isn't, at least. But it's a very interesting verse.
Can someone define charity?
Pure love of Christ. It's one definition.
That's it.
So I like it also says in here, I have circled that it's the greater gift in their hearts. And then living in communion. So I don't know. I just think charity, and Posey was saying a minute ago, it's truly a gift. We have to it's not, I don't think anything that we can just have. I don't know. Maybe some of us are blessed with that gift, but
the carnal man seems to overpower the charity.
Yeah. But if we could pray for that gift, because we know it comes from God, and work towards that greater good and have that charity in our hearts, just know that we've got to pray for that gift to have it, because we're going to need it. So.
Yes. And I would have to agree with those sentiments that you guys offered. It is in this current state, without the power of the Holy Ghost, it's pretty hard to keep ourselves always in that state of mindset where we're always thinking charitable things. You know, Barkey, I thank you for your honesty. You know, it's not easy. I mean, I could tell you today, there was a part of the day today, this morning, where I didn't have a thought of charity. I had an impure thought. You know, it happens. You know, we're in traffic, we're driving, you know, and we know when people cut us off, we get upset, or it could be somebody that needs our help on the road and it's in our power to help them, but we just don't feel like it. You know, there's certain things that happen that has been placed in the system to keep ourselves from attaining that purity. So that way we will never experience those gifts of God has spoken. And that's why it says also in this book that we will struggle with having those pure feelings, because now we're getting the blueprint on how to get that. And it's going to take a while. In verse 6, it said that it took them 36 years. Verse 6, and it came to pass in the 36th year, when all the people round about the land were converted, and then they started to have all things in common. You know, this is going to take some work. You know, divine intervention is always a great possibility to speed up that work, but this is going to take some time just to get to this point. Is there any other thoughts?
I have something to say. In verse 5, we were talking about Moses and the Israelites, but now in verse 6, we are back to the time frame of when the Nephites were talking and living with the Nephites and the Lamanites. So we're not in Moses' time anymore. And once I kind of flipped times and got back to this, it started to, the 30 and 6 made more sense to me. And you know, I don't know when it was we were talking about this time frame, like how hard or how long was it going to take to get people to make this conversion. But so there's two thoughts here. One is that we are starting to take this book forward to as many people as we can and try and get them to listen to us and read the book and become understanding of what's in it. That is going to be a long, long process. And I think we all have thought about that. It's going to be a long process. But when we make the decision to go to the City of Refuge to establish the City of Enoch, we're all coming with the same feelings that we want to make this work. And we're coming with an understanding of what's expected of us and the knowledge in this book in our hearts. And hopefully it's not going to take 30 and 6 years for us to, once we're in the City of Enoch or in our group or wherever we're at, where we have the people who are converted are together. So just wanted to point that out to remember that I don't think it's going to take us like 30 years to put this together. I think the Lord's going to move it a little faster than that.
Can I make a statement?
Yes, thank you.
I think you're right. It is going to be dramatically accelerated. And here's one of the things that I've learned in all the time I've been on this planet. In the Book of Mormon, how many times did the people, they would grow wicked, they'd go to war, they would lose a great percentage of their people through pain and suffering and bloodshed, and they would repent very quickly. My feeling is very strongly that we all know, everybody in this group knows that we are in serious trouble in this planet, and there's going to be adversity. Adversity, I have learned, is Heavenly Father's number one training and teaching tool, and I believe that will be the main tool that He uses to get us to humble ourselves, to become like He and His Son are. You can't be taught until you get humbled. You can't really, a proud person cannot be taught anything. Ask me how I know. I got 9 children. I can tell you, I had plenty of examples in both directions. But seriously, I think this, the change is going to come a lot quicker than we might think.
Thanks, Rob. It's, you know, God and His Spirit can move this as fast as He wants. It's all up to how He wants it done and how willing we're going to be able to accept it. Thank you both for your comments and your insight on that.
JT, this is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, hope if you can hear me, I'll make my comment.
Yes, sir.
This, the order of this, of what Jeannie stressed is very important in this verse. It talks about having all things in common after people were converted. And I think that's what's going to happen, or that's happening in the church today as well. This desire to live this greater law is kind of burning in our hearts, because we know that the things of the world can provide are not lasting, and the only hope for the better world are through the things of that Jesus has presented to us, like it says in the Acts of the Nephites 6:9, where let us stand up and build this society in the city that Jesus has presented to us. And, you know, it is exciting time which we live. And I just want to comment one further about the timing. Satan has been successful. I was trying to think of times when he maybe wasn't successful, but he's been successful in derailing the work of God since the beginning of this world. You know, you think about all the times where he has got in there and derailed people's efforts to live righteously. And I think that's an important lesson to us here in the with the sealed book, because one of the reasons that God preserved these restoration of these ancient covenants and the truths that he has in the sealed book is that the time is short. Short enough that these concepts will not be altered by the precepts of men through the influences of Satan, if we keep our hearts in the right direction, in the right area. And as Steve prayed for us with the sacrament, you know, we are obedient. We will always have that spirit to be with us. So I look for an acceleration of the time as well, because the longer it's in the grasp of mankind, Satan's influence could come in and alter things. And so I do believe that we are in the time period where things will move quickly. You know, we have one time period that's I think Moroni was referred to an eight-year period of the saints being in the wilderness. Well, that's a relatively very short time, and so I do look forward to things moving quickly.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bob. Anyone else want to add any further comments regarding this verse or the time period?
I would.
Go ahead, Brother Steve.
Well, Brother Bob talking about that, we were having a conversation I was this morning with someone. You know, the fact that we've got this book in our hand relative to other dispensations and gatherings is a testimony to me. This is almost like the cliff notes of how to make it work this time. I mean, it's like they didn't get these things in previous times, and we are. I feel the presence of an energy of need and speed is what it feels like to me. And so I agree with that 100%. I think we're supposed to get this, and we're supposed to get it right. And about charity, going back to the previous you know, yes, we'll have to be brought down in affliction, usually if we follow the normal map, to get to a point where we're humble enough to accept change. And that's been a roadmap looking backwards for forever. But being given this opportunity to overstep that and go into the wilderness and do the things and accept these things, because it says that we started to have all things in common, not existing neither rich nor poor nor slaves nor free. When people get in a situation like that, I believe from some experience is that the fear and insecurity of being able to survive is taken away. And the beauty of charity is able to flourish, and you're able to experience it. It has a contagious and elevating spiritual nature to it that's incredible. And it begets itself. So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, yeah, they were together for a while until they learned that they need to have no fear, that they would be fine and they could enjoy these greater gifts, which it says we are the partakers of the greater gifts in their hearts. So that's, to me, I see that as if we follow God's directions here, we don't have to go through the affliction. We have to have faith and do what is the next right thing.
Thank you, Brother Steve. It may be something else I could further say regarding these verses. But something that always comes across my way, and perhaps we could probably share some more thoughts about this, is, well, the Nephites, when they received the words back in their days, it was from Jesus Christ when he came. and he actually visited him and gave them the words. And if I'm not mistaken, there may have also been a book. There may have also been a sealed book that was also opened up to them, but I know they also had the direct words of Christ with them. And I'm trying to make sense of this. If they had Jesus there with them personally, giving them the direct words, and it took them that long, I'm not saying it's going to take us this long, but there's also a passage in the sealed book where it says that there's going to be a generation. They're not going to get it until like the third or second generation. Now, that could mean, you know, the next set of people that come, and some of us may still live in, you know, it could mean it in that sense. But, you know, what if it means it in the other sense where getting the pureness of the order correct might take a little while, you know. I tend to look at it that way because let's say it doesn't happen as soon as I think it will. I don't want to be discouraged from it. I do want to have a hope that things will be accelerated. But just from my personal opinion standpoint, I mean, if the Nephites have the direct words of Christ and it took them 36 years, you know, and we have the words, and then the book also says it takes generation after generation before we perfect it. That's the part that I'm trying to really understand, and I'm listening to what you all have to say, and that's just a thing that I'm wrestling with. And I don't know if there's anybody else that has something to clarify this matter. I appreciate it.
Hello, I'm Beck. Hello, I'm Harm. Feeling a bit better. Good to see you all.
Good to see you.
So I had some thoughts about this. I think we're so privileged in our time to have all this information. And this is the new situation, I think, which confronts us with the sealed book, to be able to distill the higher, the greater, the better, and who we strive to be. So I think the Lord wants us to know what John Pratt always used to say, figure it out. Put some effort in there and follow the promptings so that you can, if you understand, you won't be angry, you know? So this is the new perspective. It says somewhere also in the sealed book, don't think that it's, in my own words, it's easy to understand this new perception, you know? But if I think we all sought diligently, otherwise we wouldn't be able to accept this new perception and the sealed book. But it doesn't make it easy, but it's worth it. So if we gradually become to understand, we won't feel that way. We won't get angry. So and we won't complain because we will, our inward will overflow with thankfulness. I think if we have the right, how do you say, prickle? If the right...
Attitude?
Yeah, attitude. Thank you. If you have the right attitude, then we won't be surprised also when the hardships come. You know, because we are, and I feel so prepared to be enthusiastic about this knowledge that in itself is for me a confirmation. That feeling of peace and and enlightening. Because money won't save us. Our insurance won't save us.
No.
It won't. So thank you.
Yeah, I just glad to see you, Harm.
Thank you, Harm.
Yeah, I wanted to just add. So Harm, exactly. I agree with that totally, that it's an attitude is the best word. Yes.
Attitude of gratitude.
There you go. We talked an about that too. I think the next three verses kind of help us. Even four verses help us with this understanding. But to go back to JT's discussion on the time frame, we all have struggled with that too, especially when we read that time frame about the three generations. But you have to understand where it's all intermingled, the generation we have in our group. We have the very young, and those older ones who are participating with great zeal. We have all the in-between. So I think those three generations are going to be intermixed. And also remember that the Lord is in charge of the time. We can't fix ourselves on any set this year, this year, this year. And I do it all the time, because I want things to progress, and I want to get to the point when the Lord comes back and I can kneel at his feet and love him more than I'm able to do now, because I feel like my attitude's going to be a lot better. So JT, it was kind of like for me, I just sort of had to put that time frame over to the side and let it happen and let the Lord deal with it through whatever the Holy Spirit wanted to deal with me, because it was confusing me too much. So that's all that I have to say about that time frame business.
Yeah.
I want to make a comment about time frame. You know, if we look through the articles that John Pratt left us, you know, we don't know the day and the hour when Christ comes, but calendars indicate that it's more than 10 years. And that 36 years we talked about earlier, it's about half that. That we don't have a lot of time, but it's not going to be in the next 10 years.
Thank you, Russell. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Harm, for all of your insights. Is it okay from now on to push on to the next few verses? Is everybody comfortable? Okay. Let's see. 7 and 8 are real short. So can Posey read verses 7 and verses 8? Yeah, turn your mic on.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
How is this possible? How is it possible that the people live these precepts without any grumbling or murmuring in relation to their goods being administered by the High Council of the Church, for all things to take place in order and harmony? Among all the brethren, the following principles were established among us to be strictly observed by those who wish to live within this order. Should I keep going?
Keep going, verse 9.
It was first necessary to have the desire to be a partaker of this heavenly society, recognizing God as the only Lord over all things, being he a righteous ruler over the properties, whether they were our material resources, our talent, or even our time.
I want to read the next verse. I think we have to finish this thought. Within this principle, it was imperative to recognize that not all brothers would be willing to live under such circumstances. Then the high priests of the sacred order of Melchizedek were established among us, that the law of consecration among the members of the Church of Christ would be sent to the people, not as a commandment, but only as a principle, accompanied promise, the will of God to all those who feel fit for the call, without there being coercion on the part of the leadership of the church, or resentment toward him who was called to this proceeding, but who rejects him according to the precepts of his heart, due to the designs and the adapted promise of each family's ability to understand or not fully understand the law given us by Christ in order to eliminate the existing inequalities between our brothers and sisters. Handing over from our earthly possessions to become stewards of the Lord in regard to his kingdom here on earth. Woo-wee. Yeah. I'm going to stop it right there. I think that finished the thought. Whew. What do you guys have to say on this?
Can I make one statement here? There's an interesting point that he brings out here in verse 10 about the a principle accompanied with a promise. Now, in Doctrine and Covenants section 89, there's another revelation that was given to the prophet Joseph, I think primarily to satisfy his wife, Emma, actually to satisfy a lot of people. But the word of wisdom is not a commandment. It was given to us as a principle with promise. And I believe that the LDS church was wrong in making it that. There's so many things that people don't understand, and I'm not going to go into it right now, but after the official ending, there's a couple of thoughts that I'd like to convey to anybody of my feelings about the word of wisdom, because the reason being is I've uncovered some information that should be readily available to everybody, but it's being kept sort of sacred because it keeps the medical profession in
business
too well off. So after this is over, when we finish this, I've got some things that I think could help a lot of but it would take a few minutes to do it rather than right now. But anyway, I think the LDS church made a major mistake, and I think that was Brother Brigham that did that. I don't know if he had what kind of motives he had, but making that a commandment is wrong.
It was after Brigham's time, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Well, again, I see attitude. I see that in all these verses. Now, I have to say that when I first heard about the law of consecration many years ago, I would not let any of my church leaders tell me what to do with my own property. I mean, just specifically, walk away. You're going to have that conversation. You can talk to somebody else. I'm not participating, and don't come knock on my door. That was my attitude years ago because I had no trust or belief that those leaders were doing what God said they should do. It's different for me now. I have trust in Mauricio. I feel like I have a relationship with God, and I feel like my attitude is totally, yes, Lord, if you need this, whatever you want. And yeah, I can say that. I'm still a little worried what's going to happen if that truly comes. But I'm trying to get myself more and more in that direction. So attitude is specifically, do we trust our leaders? Like it says, necessary that the people in charge would tell me where my stuff is going to go. But realizing that Jesus is in charge. God is the only Lord over all things, righteous ruler over our properties. We don't own anything. And I like the fact where it said in verse 9, material resources and the talents and time that we have. It's not just the material things, it's what our talents are. And we've talked about that, promoting our talents and giving back to the Lord. I'm glad in verse 10 that it said, okay, we're all in this. Some people are just not going to be where everybody is. Not all brothers will be willing to live under these circumstances. Yeah, hopefully when we come to Zion, that it's going to be instant, that everybody's attitude is good. But apparently we're still going to have some struggling, and maybe that's going to be some of our adversity. That's just a thought process that in the very beginning, we are going to have a lot to deal with. Always keeping our trust in the Lord is going to be the answer to everything.
Yes, thank you both. To Jean's point, that was something that I struggled with myself. I give the money to church. You know, most of these guys are part of evil corporations that are taking the money, spending it on themselves. You know, I don't know where it's going. Plus, I could probably use it for myself. But with what they instituted and what we're trying to institute now is also an institution I believe in, because I believe that there's a great degree of trust here amongst our brethren. And in order for this to go on and to push forward, we have to give. That's the only way. We have to learn how to give and how to love through giving and sacrificing what we have. You know, in reality, what we have doesn't even really belong to us. It's the Lord's. So we're going to have to learn how to give it anyway.
I think that's the key. That's the key, that we really understand that it's the Lord's. You know, it's interesting in verse 7, without any grumbling or murmuring, that somebody else is going to administer your property, Jeannie. and for me, it was like a whole process. I believe the Lord gives us these commandments that it could benefit ourselves and people surrounding us, and especially, of course, in building of the kingdom. But it's so interesting order here. Without the, how is it possible? And then you have to be in order and harmony. But then it's imperative. It's interesting in verse 10, 9. You have to be have the desire to be partaker. But then it's imperative to recognize that it's not everybody's going with the same speed. That's for me what it says here. Everybody has his own speed, so don't judge another. But look at the part that they want to be part of it. You know, that they want to be united.
Well, that's the first principle, that it starts with a desire.
Yeah, but then also at the same time, and this I think is, but because it's now in this time, we have all the intelligence and the we're not excused that we're illiterate or 400 years slavery. That we imperative to recognize the other in their willingness and understanding. To consecrate everything, and it can't be done in one time. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a bit, there a bit. So I think that's to eliminate the existing equalities, you know, inequality. It's very strong, great stuff. This.
Yes. Yep. I have to agree with all of that. I really just want to finish verse 11. I think it just wraps it all up. Therefore, it became necessary to write a record of those who have the desire in their hearts to fulfill this law, and after to be individually analyzed in relation to the spiritual state and faith of each one to the promises of God and the building of Zion, and all situations concerning the life of each aspirant to join the order, and of his family, and of his substance, and in common agreement with the applicant, if he stipulate under the consent of his wife and children, his stewardship with the high council. And that really just closed it out perfectly right there. We are on different levels. Everyone's going to have their own circumstances to face with. Like even in this verse, I mean, you have to consent with your family first, get that in order, and then try to get into the order of Enoch, you know. there are different levels, and it's the wisdom of God to say, hey, let each man come as they come. But I believe the Spirit is always going to move us to give on whatever level is comfortable with us. You know, God loves a cheerful giver, but we all have to be in this order as well. Any other thoughts?
I can tell you this, that one verse you just read, that manifests to me that that is scripture. That could not have been produced by any uninspired person or persons.
Amen. Amen.
I wanted to say something. Dan just said over here, we're on mute. He's like, it's like God is asking us to pull off the impossible. And I think that is his way of saying, with me, you can do the impossible. Connect with me, and I will take all that scoreboard that you carry around in your pocketbook or in your mind of he did this, I did this, she did that, I did this. Like, that scoreboard will not exist in this environment, or it shouldn't exist. And I think if we focus on how much the Lord can help change our heart into this pure organ that is so connected with him, that the impossible will happen, but it's going to take time and practice and a lot of faith. But I just had to bring that up because Dan's over here, he's very quiet. And when he said he's asking us to do the impossible, like, this is really going to be a very hard test. And I just thought, yep, but that's the beauty of his help. He can make us into beings that we think might be impossible, but we're willing to try with him. That's all.
I'm going to go, but for the cohort, I want you to send me that information that you're talking about, that you're going to discuss later. I want to find out what you're talking about.
Okay.
All right.
How can I? Okay. I'll find your email address.
Yeah. Or talk to Jeannie or whatever.
Okay. Jeannie, can you connect? Send it to me.
So you all should have, and maybe you don't, but when I send that out, it's a group email, and everybody's emails are on that. But I will try and connect everybody later this afternoon.
Okay.
I did have a comment after listening to you guys. At first, I was a little like, what do you mean, write a record? But if we're looking at it as you come in to asking to be with everybody in the city of Zion, maybe it's an interview. Maybe the leaders are going to talk to you and kind of find out, are you where are you in your spiritual understanding? And maybe that's the record that they're talking about. Those who have the desire in their heart to fulfill the law. And then they can also understand those who need more help, maybe more people to do teaching with them, or whatever. Maybe that's the process. They individually analyze the spiritual state and faith of each one. I think that's probably going to be an important part. The part about the family, you know, we talk that women maybe have more insight and quicker can see some of this, but I know that in our group, we have several that I send emails to that are not able to participate in our Sunday togetherness here because of family concerns. So I know Steve is in touch with some of them, and maybe some of you others, maybe send an email to people who are not in our group on Sundays. Now, they do watch our videos afterwards, but I think this is part of the understanding. You can have part of the family that is believing, part of the family that is not, and this raises questions. And I think that this verse is saying that if you're coming as a family, we need to consider your family as a whole, not just you, but where is everybody on their journey, line upon line, precept upon precept. And is adversity going to lead this and guide more people towards this understanding? When does adversity come? Steve has said, we're moving quickly here, where we've got goals, we've got more missionaries, more wanting to be missionaries. So I kind of think that that's where we are. We're progressing, but we're going to go through some adverse conditions where people are going to come and say, you know, I really need to be closer to the Lord. That's my comment.
Thank you, Jean. I'm not sure how long we record, but we did finish chapter 8. Do we continue to chapter 9?
I had one more thought. I wanted to add one more thing.
Go ahead.
So I looked at the word stipulate, and it means to make an agreement or a covenant. To do or forbear something, like a contract. And so if you're stipulating under the consent of his wife and children, so that's, I guess that's like an agreement, a covenant that you're making with your family. You know, are you going to give to the stewardship? Are you going to give, you know, without resentment, without coercion? And I think about my family right now, and my kids are just, you know, kind of worldly, and they're not going to want to give anything at this point, you know. So there's things we got to work on. And obviously my husband's not willing to give right now, but I think in his heart he wants to at some point, you know. And, you know, I guess if we could all also pray for each other and our families, because some of us, you know, and it's a good thing, I guess, that we have some more time to work on this, but I thought that was interesting, that it's a covenant that you're also making with your family, with the church. I don't know.
I think I keep saying it has to be a change in your heart. It starts in the mind and in the heart, and there are communities out there where you go and practice that, you know, that love and that charity. And I think it's, I mean, when Jesus says the poor shall inherit the earth, we were talking about this the other night with Valera, the blessings from helping the poor. And even if we're not living in a community that is Zion, like, or whatever, you can still do it in your heart by going out and help those in need. And it's funny because you'll learn from them. Valera, we were talking about this. I mean, they, when you give to them, they give to like, you could give them a bag of clothes on the street, and they're going to go take it and hand it out to their people. I know Valera has a story where she had a man in her home. It was like, she offered him to stay, and he's like, no, I need to go be with my people. He was more concerned about, and to me, that's where it starts, in our hearts, and the love that we have and what we're willing to give to those in need. And I think we can start there, maybe. And yeah. It's like a change within us that has to happen. You can't just do it. Okay, sorry. We have a child today.
Start practicing now.
Yes, good.
But, and pay attention to their example, others
that are less fortunate.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for those comments. It is important to understand how to give in all aspects. But we do have to most assuredly start putting our efforts to give to the church and to get this thing going. Does anybody want to go off of what either Posey said or anything that we just previously read?
Well, I can make a comment. I keep thinking about Mauricio, and he's now asked a couple of times to send him an email, about the tithing, and or if you want to participate. And I'm still not sure how to now calculate the tithing. It used to be very easy, but now with the new revelation and the piece that John Pratt wrote, still a bit complicated. But I keep thinking maybe I should just write an email that we have the desire in our hearts to participate, you know, just to make sure that he knows that we are willing to do that, and then we go figure out what to pay for tithing, and then send him the amount of that we want to participate with. Don't know. We have Brother Bob here. Don't know if maybe
yes, Brother Bob. We would like to hear from you.
Maybe we can. It's okay.
It would
be good to speak to Brother Bob privately.
Oh.
Of the same situation earlier.
I can do that as well. But maybe Brother Bob wants to comment a little bit.
Of course.
That's the bishopric is still trying to formalize some of these things. There's something I can comment, though. I think your concerns will be all come together here before long. There was a revelation given in the recent past that said there was six men were named to decide the best way to implement the law of consecration among the people. And I think that particularly was centered at those in the center place. But I think it's also has extensions church-wide. And of those six people, one of those has passed on now, but that task is still to be yet to be done. So that's weighing heavily on our minds that we need to formalize some of these things. But I think as far as the tithing goes, the one verse that always comes back to our memory is the one that says, however you would resolve in your heart as far as your tithing goes and your contributions. And that's the key. I don't really think anybody can really calculate a tithing for a person when you actually put it on paper. We can talk about the principles and the concepts, but in the end, it's however you feel in your heart, given your situation, whether you are in a family there where everyone in the family is unified in wanting to do this, or whether you are where many of our families, everyone is not unified as far as the desire and to participate and to give to the church. And so many situations are different, but I think if we can actually go on what, the sealed book is all about, our hearts, that area that many of us have not kind of glanced over or not even recognized for many years, that this is the key. The key is those, what's feelings in our hearts, and let the Holy Spirit guide us, because without that Holy Spirit, again, Steve prayed for that for us, led us in that prayer, that holy prayer, that we keep the commandments, we have the desire. Again, the revelation received in November, it says, at the very end, it says, it reiterated what's in the scriptures. If you have a desire to serve God, you're called to the work. And the details will all fall in place.
Thank you, Brother Bob, for your words of wisdom. You just always know how to say it. Holy Ghost gives you those words. We did conclude with chapter 8 of the Three Nephites. I'm not sure how long we go with our time, since this is my first time doing this, but do we continue to chapter 9? Seems like everybody's still here.
I think it's a good stopping point. We can always start chapter 9 next week. I don't know. It's up to us, I guess, everyone, but I think.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, then that's what we'll do. I do not have the jurisdiction over the recording, but do we pray before the recording or after?
I think we usually stop the recording and then we pray.
Okay.
So, Jeannie's not here to stop the recording, though.
Well, I can close it out in a prayer. Yeah, I'll just close it out in a prayer. It doesn't hurt for the prayer to be on a recording. All right. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you. And once again, we want to thank you for these most precious words that you have given us to build us up and to bring us together as one mind and one body. We just want to thank you that we were chosen for this time and that your spirit of guidance and wisdom and love continue to push us forward in the time that you want. There may be people on the call that need certain questions that are answered. I know I do. I just know that you will minister to each and every one of us according to your wisdom, your plan. We don't have it all figured out yet, but we do know that we look forward to having it completed, to being together in joy, to get ready for your coming. Give us more purity in our thoughts and in our minds. Give us more willingness to stand up against the adversities that Satan puts before us every day. It always said in your word that the saints will come together and pray and meet together, cherish one another and pray that we endure to the end. Enduring to the end was always a key theme in the church and the scriptures. So, Father, hear our prayer here. Have mercy on us. Look down on us with gladness. And give us the power, each and every one of us here on this call and not on this call, to endure until the end and to hold hands together in this fight that we walk. 1,000 may fall at our side, another 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near us. It's in your word. We believe that. We have the faith, and we want more. We want more, and we seek nothing less. I pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That was a beautiful prayer, JT. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Loved it.
Thank you, JT.
Well done.
Well, what we can do is we can have Russell cut the... Well, Jeannie can get the recording to Russell and he can trim off this last section where we do our little after talk, our mingle. So... Or linger longer. So
I'm gonna have to run. I have some people showed up, so I wasn't really expecting, but they're here.
Okay. Don't run too fast.
Love you guys.
Do we need to turn off the recording?
Yes.
Okay, I'll have